Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl. Enveloped by a pale gray mist, the long, narrow hull of an 18th century sailing ship moves silently across the smooth surface of the sea. A young girl with long brown ringlets stands on the prow of the ship. She wears a gray fitted dress with a narrow lace collar and floppy lace cuffs. She stands looking out to sea with her arms clasped in front of her as she sings. From behind, a man's hand grabs her shoulder.
Quiet, Missy. Cursed pirates sail these waters. You don't want to bring them down on us now, do you?
Mr. Gibbs, that will do.
She was singing about pirates. Bad luck to be singing about pirates with us mired in this unnatural fog. Mark my words.
Consider them marked.
Norrington dismisses Gibbs.
On your way.
Aye, Lieutenant. It's bad luck to have a woman on board, too. Even a miniature one.
I think it'd be rather exciting to meet a pirate.
Think again, Miss Swan. Vile and dissolute creatures, the lot of them. I intend to see to it that any man who sails under a pirate flag or wears a pirate brand gets what he deserves. A short drop and a sudden stop.
Elizabeth Swan glances at Gibbs, who pulls at his neckerchief like a noose.
Lieutenant Norrington, I appreciate your fervor, but I'm concerned about the effect this subject will have upon my daughter.
My apologies, Governor Swan.
Actually, I find it all fascinating.
Yes, that's what concerns me.
Governor Swan, wearing a dark brown full-bottomed wig, moves off, watched by Elizabeth, who then turns back to gaze at the murky water ahead. A slow smile flickers across her face as she notices an upturned parasol bobbing on the water. She leans over the ship's side to watch it glide past. Looking out over the rail again, she spots a piece of wreckage, like a small raft, with a person lying on it.
Look! A boy! There's a boy in the water!
Norrington peers out into the mist.
Men overboard! Down the road, fetch a hook! Haul him aboard!
Elizabeth watches excitedly as the boy's inert body is lifted over the side and laid on the deck. Norrington kneels over him.
He's still breathing.
Mary, Mother of God!
Elizabeth turns towards Gibbs, who's staring in horror at a ship engulfed in flames, its back broken.
What happened here?
Norrington.
Most likely the powder magazine. Merchant vessels run heavily armed.
Governor Swan, Norrington, and Gibbs stare at the burning carcass.
A lot of good it did them. Everyone's thinking it, I'm just saying it. Pirates.
There's no proof of that. It was probably an accident.
The girl looks down at the injured boy.
Rouse the captain immediately.
Aye, sir.
Heave to and take in sail. Launch the boats.
Sailors heave on the ropes. The boy is carried off to safety.
Elizabeth, I want you to accompany the boy. He'll be in your charge. Take care of him.
She nods without hesitation. Swan's fatherly smile fades as he surveys the fiery inferno on the water. The ship's boat rows rapidly out towards the sinking vessel. In a quiet corner of the deck, the young boy lies on his back, his eyes closed. Elizabeth reaches out to stroke his brown hair.
It's okay. My name's Elizabeth Swan.
Will Turner.
I'm watching over you, Will.
His frightened eyes shut again, and he drifts back into unconsciousness. Elizabeth looks at him thoughtfully and leans over to examine a chain and medallion around his neck. The gold medallion is engraved with a skull.
You're a pirate.
Has he said anything?
His name's William Turner. That's all I found out.
Take him below.
Later, Elizabeth stands on the quarterdeck as the Royal Ensign flutters above her head. She looks around to make sure she's unobserved before carefully opening up her cupped hand to take a closer look at the pirate medallion. As she holds it up in front of her, a ship with tattered black sails seems to be moving across the water away from her. She stares wide-eyed at the skull and crossed cutlasses emblazoned on its flag. She screws her eyes shut as a second pair of female eyes open. They belong to Elizabeth, now a young woman, lying awake in bed. She reaches for the candle on her bedside table, and from a drawer, she takes the medallion from its hiding place. Dressed in a lacy white nightdress, her long hair loose, she holds the medallion in her hand, running her thumb over the grinning skull and the geometrical pattern around it. Solemnly, she slips the chain around her neck and stares at her reflection in the mirror.
Elizabeth!
She grabs her heavily embroidered dressing gown.
You all right?
And puts it on.
Are you decent?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, you're still abed at this hour? It's a beautiful day.
A maid opens the window overlooking a harbour.
I have a gift for you.
Grey-wigged Swan removes the lid from a slim box. Inside, a dress with a stiff bodice.
Beautiful.
Isn't it?
May I inquire as to the occasion?
Does a father need an occasion to dote upon his daughter?
Two maids go to help strap Elizabeth into the dress. Swan remains by the window.
Actually, I had hoped you might wear it for the ceremony today.
The ceremony?
Captain Norrington's promotion ceremony.
I knew it.
Commodore Norrington, as he's about to become. Fine gentleman, don't you think? He fancies you, you know. Elizabeth, how's it coming?
It's difficult to say.
I'm told it's the latest fashion in London.
Well, women in London must have learnt not to breathe.
My lord, you have a visitor.
A young man with a long, slim case under his arm stands in the elegant hallway of Lord Swan's residence. He reaches up to a wall fitting and pulls off one of the candle arms. He looks round sheepishly, then hides the evidence in an umbrella stand just as a footman walks by. Swan and his aide come downstairs.
Mr. Turner, good to see you again.
Good day, sir.
Will Turner bows.
I have your order.
He opens the case and hands over a sword with a decorated handle in its sheath.
Wow. The blade is folded steel. That's gold filigree laid into the handle.
Will takes back the sword.
If I may.
And balances it horizontally on one finger.
Perfectly balanced. The tang is nearly the full width of the blade.
He whips it into the air and catches it.
Oh. Impressive. Very impressive. I know. Commodore Norrington's going to be very pleased with this. Do pass my compliments on to your master.
Will's eyes widen and he smiles.
I shall. A craftsman is always pleased to hear his work is appreciated.
Elizabeth appears on the stairs.
Elizabeth, you look absolutely stunning.
Will, so good to see you. I had a dream about you last night.
About me?
Elizabeth, said entirely proper for you to...
About the day we met, do you remember?
How could I forget, Miss Swan?
Will, how many times must I ask you to call me Elizabeth?
At least once more, Miss Swan. As always.
There, see? At least the boy has a sense of propriety. Now, we really must be going.
Elizabeth looks at Will coldly.
Good day, Mr. Turner.
Come along.
As she marches out of the house, Will runs after her.
Good day.
His anxious face softens.
Elizabeth.
She glances at him over her shoulder as her carriage leaves. From the steps of Swan's mansion, Will watches the coach pulled by two horses trundle out of the gates. A little way out to sea, a tall, skinny figure with long hair billowing from under his tricorn hat stands on a masthead, staring intently towards the harbour, dominated by a tall, pointed rock. His blackened eyes shine out from his rugged, tanned face. He grabs a rope and slides down and into the boat below. The tiny single-masted boat is filling with water. The man grabs a bucket and begins bailing. As his boat moves nearer to shore, he sees three bodies swinging by the neck from a wooden beam. He removes his hat and presses it to his chest in a gesture of respect for the dead men, now little more than skeletons covered in scraps of skin. A roughly painted sign says, "Pirates, ye be warned." He salutes sarcastically. His boat approaches a crowded jetty, where men and boys load goats and other cargo onto a waiting ship. As the bailing bucket bobs by, they turn and gape at the stranger standing on the masthead again, floating in towards the jetty. His boat and most of the sail mast are underwater. He steps from the masthead straight onto the wooden jetty and strides off along the boards right past the harbour master.
Hold up there, you! It's a shilling to tie up your boat at the dock.
The stranger reaches into his coat pocket.
And I shall need to know your name.
And tosses 3 coins into the harbour master's ledger.
What do you say to 3 shillings? And we forget the name.
The harbour master considers the offer.
Welcome to Port Royal, Mr. Smith.
The long-haired stranger picks up a money purse from the harbour master's bureau and takes it. The parade ground of the Port Royal Fort is lined with civilian onlookers and military personnel. 2 columns of redcoats in scarlet tunics over white breeches and stockings march in, their muskets on their shoulders. Among the spectators, Elizabeth, deep in her own thoughts, fans herself against the heat. A little way from the shore, the tan stranger stands behind a tree and looks down towards a ship moored at a jetty below the fort. With a swift glance behind him, he moves towards it. 2 paces, march! The 2 columns of redcoats take 2 paces outwards. Norrington steps forward. The 2 lines of redcoats about face, muskets upright. Swan watches proudly as their muskets form a ceremonial arch, and Norrington strides through it. Elizabeth, her eyes lowered, continues to fan herself. Governor Swan presents the sword to his protégé, who unsheathes it and holds the blade up to the light. Elizabeth grimaces uncomfortably in her tight dress. Meanwhile, the black-eyed stranger marches down the jetty. 2 soldiers, Murtaugh and Mulroy, block his path.
This dock is off-limits to civilians.
I'm terribly sorry, I didn't know. If I see one, I shall inform you immediately. Apparently there's some sort of high-toned and fancy to-do up at the fort, eh? How could it be that 2 upstanding gentlemen such as yourselves did not merit an invitation?
Someone has to make sure this dock stays off limits to civilians.
It's a fine goal, to be sure. But it seems to me that a ship like that makes this one here a bit superfluous, really.
Oh, the Dauntless is the power in these waters, true enough. But there's no ship that can match the Interceptor for speed.
I've heard of one. It's supposed to be very fast, nigh uncatchable. The Black Pearl.
Well, there's no real ship that can match the Interceptor. Black Pearl is a real ship.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. I've seen it.
You've seen it?
Yes.
You haven't seen it?
Yes, I have.
You've seen a ship with black sails that's crewed by the damned and captained by a man so evil that hell itself spat him back out.
No.
No.
But I have seen a ship with black sails.
Oh. And no ship that's not crewed by the damned and captained by a man so evil that hell itself spat him back out could possibly have black sails, therefore couldn't possibly be any other ship than the Black Pearl. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Like I said, there's no real ship as can match the Interceptor.
The stranger has slipped past them and boarded the Interceptor.
Aye!
He stands at the helm.
You! Get away from there!
You don't have permission to be aboard there, mate.
I'm sorry, it's such a pretty boat. Ship.
What's your name?
Smith. Oh, Smithy, if you like.
What's your purpose in Port Royal, Mr. Smith?
Yeah, and no lies. Why then? I confess. It is my intention to commandeer one of these ships, pick up a crew and Tortuga, raid, pillage, plunder, and otherwise pilfer my Weasley black guts out.
I said no lies.
I think he's telling the truth.
If he were telling the truth, he wouldn't have told us.
Unless, of course, he knew you wouldn't believe the truth, even if he told it to you.
Under a stone archway in the precincts of the fort, as people wander languidly about in the heat, Norrington addresses Elizabeth.
May I have a moment?
They wander out onto the battlements high over the sea. Elizabeth is trembling and breathing with some difficulty. Norrington turns away from her as he speaks.
You look lovely, Elizabeth. I apologise if I seem forward, but I must speak my mind.
Behind him, Elizabeth struggles for breath.
This promotion throws into sharp relief that which I have not yet achieved.
He turns to her.
A marriage to a fine woman. You have become a fine woman, Elizabeth.
I can't breathe.
Yes, I'm a bit nervous myself.
She tumbles from the battlements headlong into the water.
And then they made me their chief.
Mr. Smith hears the splash as Norrington turns round.
Elizabeth?
He stares at the circular white ripples in the dark waters below.
Elizabeth!
As he starts to take off his coat.
The rocks! Sir, it's a miracle she missed them!
On the interceptor below, Mr. Smith.
Will you be saving her then?
I can't swim!
Mr. Smith thrusts his hat and sword at the guards.
Proud of the King's Navy, you are. Do not lose this.
He climbs onto the interceptor's gunwale and dives into the sea. Elizabeth drifts towards the seabed. Will's pirate medallion floating in front of her sends out a shockwave. Murtagh and Mulroy exchange an inquiring look.
What was that?
Mulroy shrugs. The royal ensign above them billows out as the breeze strengthens and changes direction. They hang onto their hats. The hanged pirate corpses start to swing in the wind. In the darkness underwater, Mr. Smith swims towards Elizabeth and pulls her up to the surface. They sink again. Mr. Smith unfastens Elizabeth's waterlogged crinoline dress, letting it float down to the seabed as he pulls her back to the surface. As the sky clouds over, soldiers run down to the dock. The mystery rescuer hauls Elizabeth, now only in her petticoat and corset, onto the dock. Murtagh and Mulroy help to lie her down.
Not breathing! Move!
Mr. Smith squats down and rips off her remaining corset.
Never would have thought of that.
Clearly you've never been to Singapore.
He reaches down to look at the medallion around her neck. Elizabeth's eyes open.
Where did you get that?
Norrington arrives.
On your feet.
With Norrington's new sword at his throat, the stranger obeys. Swan helps his daughter up.
Is that fine?
Murtagh drops the corset he's still holding, pointing an accusing finger at Mr. Smith.
Shoot him!
Father!
What?
Commodore, do you really intend to kill my rescuer?
Norrington reluctantly accepts Elizabeth's plea, and sheathing his sword, holds out his hand to her rescuer.
I believe thanks are in order.
As they shake hands, Norrington pulls back the man's sleeve, a pier branded on his wrist.
Had a brush with the East India Trading Company, did we? Pirate?
Hang him!
Keep your guns on him, men. Gillette, fetch some irons. Well, well. Jack Sparrow, isn't it?
Captain Jack Sparrow, if you please, sir.
Well, I don't see your ship. Captain?
I'm in the market, as it were.
He said he'd come to commandeer one.
I told you he was telling the truth. These are his, sir.
Jack Sparrow's pistol. Norrington examines it.
No additional shots nor powder. A compass that doesn't point north.
He unsheathes Jack's sword.
And I half expected it to be made of wood.
Jack shrugs lamely.
You are without doubt the worst pirate I've ever heard of.
But you have heard of me.
Norrington grabs Jack and has him manacled.
Commodore, I really must protest.
Carefully, Lieutenant.
Pirate or not, this man saved my life.
One good deed is not enough to redeem a man of a lifetime of wickedness.
Though it seems enough to condemn him.
Indeed.
Jack seizes Elizabeth.
Finally.
And wraps his chains around her neck.
No, don't shoot!
I knew you'd warm up to me. Commodore Norrington, my effects, please. And my hat. Commodore!
Mulroy hands Jack's things to Norrington.
Elizabeth, it is Elizabeth, isn't it?
It's Miss Swan.
Miss Swan, if you'd be so kind. Come, dear, we don't have all day.
Jack grabs back his pistol and turns Elizabeth to face him.
Now, if you'll be very kind.
Despite the pistol pointed at her head, she glares at him angrily. Her body pressed up against his, she puts his hat on his head and buckles his gun belt back around his waist, watched with increasing discomfort by Norrington and her father. Jack gives a black-toothed smile as her fingers buckle the belt around his front.
Easy on the goods, darling.
You're despicable.
Sticks and stones, love. I saved your life, you saved mine, we're square.
He turns her again.
Gentlemen! M'lady. You will always remember this as the day that you almost caught Captain Jack Sparrow.
He pushes her back towards her father and the soldiers. With a kick, Jack releases a windlass, bringing a raised cannon hurtling down, smashing through the planks of the jetty, sending redcoats falling through the hole into the water. Jack, grabbing the free end of the rope on the windlass, soars upwards, counterbalanced by the cannon, and spins helplessly round the top of the hoist.
Now will you shoot him? Open fire!
Jack swings onto another hoist further down the jetty. He throws his manacle chain over a long rope stretching from the top of the hoist and back to the dockside. He slides along the rope and jumps down onto another wooden jetty. The armed redcoats take up the firing position. Jack makes his escape over a small humped bridge. Norrington stares after him.
Gillette, Mr. Sparrow has a dawn appointment with the gallows. I would hate for him to miss it.
Captain Gillette and the redcoats go off in search of Jack Sparrow through dark alleyways and up narrow staircases. But they don't see Jack skulking in the shadows. He comes out of his hiding place, and seeing another two columns of redcoats trot by, he darts into the doorway of Brown's smithy. He comes into a deserted and barely lit workroom. The floor is strewn with sawdust. He puts down his tricorn hat. He spins round at the sound of a clay bottle falling to the floor. Peering through the darkness, he sees the blacksmith, Mr. Brown, sitting in a drunken stupor in a chair, his head flopped to one side. Jack creeps up to him with a hammer and pokes him in the chest. The man does not stir. But Jack makes doubly sure that the man is fast asleep.
Whoa!
He lays his chains across an anvil and tries to break them with the hammer. In frustration, Jack tries to pull them apart. He looks up and sees a large cogged wheel and gears that operate the bellows. A mule is harnessed to the wheel. Jack picks up a red-hot brand from the anvil and pokes the mule, making it move. He thrusts the manacles into the cogged wheels, and they're crushed, setting him free. The bar on the door of the smithy lifts up, and Will Turner comes in. Jack ducks into a dark corner as Will notices the treadmill turning. He hurries over to the panicked mule and cuddles its head. He takes off his brown coat, and crossing the smithy, he looks despairingly at his comatose master.
Right where I left you.
He turns, and tossing down his coat, he frowns as he spots the hammer lying on the anvil.
Not where I left you.
His frown deepens as he notices Jack's leather hat. As he reaches towards it, a sword wraps him on the knuckles. Jack points the sword at Will.
You're the one they're hunting. The pirate.
You seem somewhat familiar. Have I threatened you before?
I make a point of avoiding familiarity with pirates.
Ah. Well, then it would be a shame to put a black mark on your record. So if you'll excuse me.
Will grabs a sword and confronts Jack.
Do you think this wise boy? Crossing blades with a pirate?
You threaten Miss Swan.
Jack crosses Will's sword.
Only a little.
The two men fight in the dingy light of the smithy. Will counterattacks aggressively, forcing Jack to step backwards.
You know what you're doing, I'll give you that. Excellent form. But how's your footwork? If I step here... Very good. And now I step again.
Jack forces Will to swap positions, so that Jack is now nearest the door. Jack sheathes his sword and leaps up onto the stone sill of the door. Will hurls his sword, impaling it into the door latch right next to Jack's head. Jack stares wide-eyed back at Will and tries to dislodge the sword by pulling on its ornate handle. Will watches calmly as Jack struggles with the sword.
That is a wonderful trick. Except once again, you are between me and my way out. And now... You have no weapon.
Will grabs a sword from out of the forge, its tip red hot. Anxiously, the mule starts to move again, and the cogged wheel of the bellows turns above Jack and Will's heads as they fight. Jack disarms Will, who straightaway grabs one of the many swords hanging from a rack on the wheel.
Who makes all these?
I do. And I practice with them 3 hours a day.
You need to find yourself a girl, mate.
They each grab another sword from the rack and continue fighting, a weapon in each hand.
Or, perhaps the reason you practice 3 hours a day is that you already found one and are otherwise incapable of wooing said strumpet. You're not a eunuch, are you?
I practice 3 hours a day so that when I meet a pirate, I can kill it.
Will, gritting his teeth, leaps onto the offensive. Jack backs up onto a two-wheeled barrow balanced on the stone steps. It comes free, and the two men, still fighting, rock up and down on either end as if on a seesaw. Will pokes his sword through Jack's broken chain and hooks it up over a beam. Jack hangs with one arm extended above his head and lashes out with the other. He kicks up a plank on the barrow, hurling Will backwards. The pirate jackknifes and wraps his legs around the beam and prizes the chain free. He falls down onto one end of the barrow, catapulting Will up into the rafters. Jack shakes himself and leaps to his feet, looking around for Will. Above his head, Will slices through a rope, sending a bundle crashing down onto the barrow, sending Jack up towards the rafters. Jack puffs out his cheeks, hauls himself upright, and the two men, now with only one sword each, dance around the beams of the rafters. Will disarms Jack, who swings down from the rafters to floor level. Will follows and runs after him. Jack squeezes the mouth of the bellows in Will's face, smothering him in whirling dust, and kicks away his sword. Jack points his pistol at his young adversary.
You cheated.
Pirate.
The doors of the smithy are being forced. Will tries to block Jack's escape.
Move away.
No.
Please move.
No! I cannot just step aside and let you escape.
Jack cocks his pistol.
This shot is not meant for you.
Jack's wild eyes glaze over as he falls flat on his face. Behind him, Mr. Brown with a broken bottle in his hand. The redcoats charge in, followed by Commodore Norrington. Muskets are pointed at Jack's unconscious body.
Excellent work, Mr. Brown. You've assisted in the capture of a dangerous fugitive.
Just doing my civic duty, sir.
Will sighs.
Well, I trust that you will always remember this is the day that Captain Jack Sparrow almost escaped. Take him away.
In a dank, dark dungeon at night, prisoners are offering a bone through the bars of their cell to a dog that holds a set of keys in its mouth.
Come here, boy.
Come here, boy.
You can keep doing that forever. The dog is never going to move.
Oh, excuse us if we haven't resigned ourselves to the gallows just yet.
In the cell next door, Jack Sparrow grins. In Elizabeth's bedroom, her maid takes a warming pan from the hearth and places it under the bed covers.
There you go, miss. It was a difficult day for you, I'm sure.
I suspected Commodore Norrington would propose, but must admit I wasn't entirely prepared for it.
Well, I meant you being threatened by that pirate. Sounds terrifying.
Oh. Yes, it was terrifying.
But the Commodore proposed. Fancy that. Now, that's a smart match, miss, if it's not too bold to say.
It is a smart match. He's a fine man. Sort any woman should dream of marrying.
Well, that Will Turner. He's a fine man, too.
That is too bold.
Well, begging your pardon, miss. It was not my place.
The maid withdraws, leaving Elizabeth looking thoughtful. She clutches the medallion in her fingers. Next to her, the bedside lamp flickers and dies. At the blacksmith's, Will is hammering a piece of red-hot steel. He looks round and goes to a window, peering out of the shutters into the darkness. He sees a skinny cat scooting down the alley and taking cover. Under a pitch-black sky, a curved arc of lights moves silently through the dark water. At the fort, Norrington is walking with Governor Swan on the battlements.
Has my daughter given you an answer yet?
No, she hasn't.
Well, she has had a very trying day. Ghastly weather, don't you think?
Bleak, very bleak.
Swan looks out to sea.
What's that?
Norrington hurls him to the ground.
Cannon fire! Cannon fire!
One of those guns.
Jack climbs up to the window of his cell.
It's the Pearl.
Black Pearl.
Next door, the other prisoners tremble.
I've heard stories. She's been preying on ships and settlements for near 10 years. Never leaves any survivors.
No survivors. Then where do the stories come from, I wonder?
The two prisoners look embarrassed. Cannon fire bombards the buildings and the port. A small blonde-haired boy screams in terror. His mother sweeps him up and carries him off. Boatloads of ragged pirates arrive at the shore, brandishing weapons and burning torches. One man, Pintel, with long hair and a bald pate, watches his mate, Ragetti, twizzle his false eye back into place. Then they both run off with malicious and purposeful grins on their faces. Amid the marauding hordes, one man in a bishop's mitre throws fizzing grenades through windows. A woman in her nightclothes flees from her house, followed by the pirate. Will equips himself with an arsenal of weapons from the smithy and comes out into the street. He hurls a hatchet into the wild-eyed stalker's back. Will runs through the streets, picking off each pirate as he comes across him, while up at the fort, Norrington's men collect their muskets. A gallows in the fort is blown to pieces. Bodies are hurtled into the air.
Sight the muzzle flash!
Aim for the
flashes! I need a full spread, four and a half! Mr. Stevens, four cartridges!
Governor, barricade yourself in my office.
That's an order.
Governor Swan gapes helplessly at Norrington. Elizabeth runs out of her room and stares at the burning port below. A mob bursts through the gates of Swan's mansion, brandishing their flaming torches. Elizabeth sees them team across the courtyard towards the house. She runs halfway down the stairs and watches in horror as the footman goes to open the door.
Hello, chum.
The mob surges through the front door to the hall. Pintel and Ragetti spot Elizabeth watching from the landing. She turns tail and hares back up the stairs. They follow her up. She runs into her room, colliding with her maid.
Miss Swan! He's come to kidnap you!
What?
You're the governor's daughter.
They haven't seen you. Hide, and the first chance you get, run to the fort.
They split up. The two pirates burst in. Elizabeth slams the warming pan into Pintel's face. She aims for the head of the one-eyed Ragetti.
Gotcha.
He grabs her arm, but she opens the warming pan, sending burning embers down onto his head, and scampers away. The servants run this way and that, frantically trying to escape. Pintel chases Elizabeth down the stairs. Ragetti jumps over the banisters and blocks her path. She looks from one man to the other as a third pirate comes through a door carrying stolen jewelry. A cannonball smashes through the house, catapulting the jewel thief out of the door. As Elizabeth dashes across the hall, a chandelier plummets to the floor. She runs into the dining room and jams the door handles with a candelabra. She tries to pull a sword out of an armorial display above the fireplace. The evil-looking pair burst into the darkened room. Elizabeth watches them through a crack in the closet where she's hiding.
We know you're here, Poppet.
Poppy.
Come out. And we promise we won't hurt you.
One-eyed Ragetti shakes his head.
We will find you, Poppet. You've got something of ours, and it calls to us.
The pirates notice the shut closet door.
The gold. Calls to us.
Go.
Elizabeth studies the medallion in her fingers. She looks through the slit in the door and sees Pintel looking back at her.
Hello, Poppy.
Parley!
What?
Parley. I invoke the right of parley. According to the code of the brethren set down by the pirates Morgan and Bartholomew, you have to take me to your captain.
I know the code.
If an adversary demands parley, you can do them no harm until the parley is complete.
Blazes with the code.
She wants to be taken to the captain.
And she'll go without a fuss. We must honor the code.
Out in the streets, other pirates are looting shop windows and Will is taking on a giant of a man. The giant rolls his eyes at Will.
Goodbye!
Debris from an explosion above them sends the giant crashing through a ground floor shop window.
Goodbye.
Down the dark street, Will spots Elizabeth being hustled away by Pintel and Rigetti.
Come on!
Elizabeth!
The man Will hit with the hatchet suddenly appears in front of him, grinning horribly. Will stares confused. At their feet, a grenade fizzes and goes out. A passerby knocks Will out. In the jail, Jack Sparrow dives for cover as a cannonball breaches the cell next door.
My sympathies, friend. You've no manner of luck at all.
The other prisoners scramble out of their cell. Jack, still behind bars, watches them go. Then his eyes turn to look up at the cloudy night sky, just as the moon comes into view. Jack reaches through the bars of his cell for the prisoner's discarded bone and waves it.
Come on, Dougie. It's just you and me now. It's you and old Jack. Come on.
Slowly, the mongrel dog pads towards him, holding the ring of keys in its mouth.
Come on, a bit closer, a bit closer. That's it, doggy. Come on, you filthy, slimy, mangy cat.
The dog scampers off.
No, I didn't mean it.
A redcoat tumbles down the steps of the jail, followed by two pirates.
This ain't the armory. Well, look what we have here, Tweak. Captain Jack Sparrow. Last time I saw you, you were all alone on a godforsaken island, shrinking into the distance. His fortunes aren't improved much.
Worry about your own fortunes, gentlemen. The deepest circle of hell is reserved for betrayers and mutineers.
One pirate grabs Jack through the bars with a skeletal hand.
So there is a curse. That's interesting.
You know nothing of hell.
The man loosens his grip and both pirates leave. Jack thoughtfully contemplates the dog's bone.
That's very interesting.
The silver moon disappears behind a cloud. The female figurehead of the Black Pearl looms towards Elizabeth, who's being rowed towards the ship with her two captors. She gazes up at the black hull of the ship, more intrigued than frightened. She climbs up onto the deck, milling with men, and sees the bearded captain watching her from the poop deck, a monkey leaping under his shoulder. Her bald-pated captor, Pintel, pulls her by the arm towards a shaven-headed black bosun.
I didn't know we was taking on captains.
She's invoked the right of parley with Captain Barbosa.
I'm here to negotiate.
You speak when spoken to.
The bosun's wrist is grabbed.
And you'll not lay a hand on those under the protection of parley.
Aye, sir.
Apologies, miss.
Captain Barbosa, I am here to negotiate the cessation of hostilities against Port Royal.
There are a lot of long words in there, miss. We're naught but humble pirates. What is it that you want?
I want you to leave and never come back.
I'm disinclined to acquiesce to your request. Means no.
Elizabeth eyes him unflinchingly.
Very well.
She goes to the rail and dangles the medallion over the water.
I'll drop it.
A flash of light illuminates the medallion. Elizabeth searches for a reaction.
Beholds a bursting with swag. That bit of shine matters to us. Why?
It's what you've been searching for. I recognize this ship. I saw it 8 years ago on the crossing from England.
Did you know?
Fine. Well, I suppose if it is worthless, then there's no point in me keeping it.
She lets it slip down the chain and smiles knowingly at Barbosa, who steps towards her. His monkey wearing miniature man's clothes sitting on his shoulder.
You have a name, Missy?
Elizabeth Turner. I'm a maid in the governor's household.
Barbosa looks intrigued.
Miss Turner.
The bald-pated Pintel murmurs.
Bootstrap.
And how does a maid come to own a trinket such as that? Family heirloom, perhaps.
I didn't steal it, if that's what you mean.
Very well, you hand it over and we'll put your town to our rudder. And ne'er return.
Elizabeth considers his offer, then drops the medallion and chain into the captain's hand. The monkey takes it and scampers off with it.
A bargain?
Barbossa turns away, leaving the bosun in charge.
Steal the guns and stores. Trickle them in, set the flags, and make good the clear for one.
You have to take me to shore! According to the code of the Order of the Brethren!
First! Your return to shore was not part of our negotiations, nor our agreement, so I must do nothing. And secondly, you must be a pirate for the Pirate's Code to apply, and you're not. And thirdly, the code is more what you'd call guidelines than actual rules. Welcome aboard the Black Pearl, Miss Turner.
Elizabeth is seized by her captors. In the morning, Will, still lying on the ground where he fell, has hens clucking round him. He opens his eyes and groggily gets up. He looks down towards the water's edge and hurries down to Norrington's makeshift campaign room, where the Commodore is busily studying a map.
They've taken her. They've taken Elizabeth.
Mr. Murtagh, remove this man.
We have to hunt them down. We must save her.
And where do you propose we start? If you have any information concerning my daughter, please share it.
Will is carrying his hatchet.
That Jack Sparrow? He talked about the Black Pearl.
Mentioned it is more what he did.
Ask him where it is. Make a deal with him. He can lead us to it.
No. The pirates who invaded this fort left Sparrow locked in his cell. Ergo, they are not his allies. Governor, we will establish their most likely course. And...
That's not good enough!
Mr. Turner, you are not a military man, you are not a sailor. You are a blacksmith. This is not the moment for rash actions. Do not make the mistake of thinking you are the only man here who cares for Elizabeth.
Will eyes Norrington with suppressed loathing. In his cell, Jack Sparrow is trying vainly to pick the lock. Will bounds down the jail steps.
You, Sparrow.
Aye.
You are familiar with that ship, the Black Pearl.
I've heard of it.
Where does it make berth?
Where does it make berth? Have you not heard the stories? Captain Barbossa and his crew of miscreants sail from the dreaded Isla de Muerta. It's an island that cannot be found except by those who already know where it is.
The ship's real enough. Therefore, its anchorage must be a real place. Where is it?
Why ask me?
Because you're a pirate.
And you want to turn pirate yourself, is that it?
Never. They took Miss Swan.
Oh, so it is that you found a girl. I see. Well, if you're intending to brave all, hasten to her rescue and so win fair lady's heart, you'll have to do it alone, mate. I see no profit in it for me.
I can get you out of here.
How's that? The keys run off.
I helped build these cells. These are half-pin barrel hinges. With the right leverage and the proper application of strength, the door will lift free.
Jack's intrigued.
What's your name?
Will Turner.
That would be short for William, I imagine. Good strong name. No doubt, name for your father, eh?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Will, Mr. Turner, I've changed my mind. If you spring me from this cell, I swear on pain of death, I shall take you to the Black Pearl and your bonny lass. Do we have an accord?
He holds out his hand to Will through the cell bars, and they shake on it.
Agreed.
Agreed. Get me out.
Will uses a stout bench to prise the door off its hinges.
Hurry! Someone will have heard that.
Not without my effect.
Jack grabs his sword and gun, and the two of them sprint through shallow water down to the jetty towards the Dauntless.
We're going to steal the ship.
Jack is eyeing up the Interceptor.
That ship?
Commandeer. We're going to commandeer that ship, Nautical Town. One question about your business, boy.
There's no use going. Just go. How far are you willing to go to save her?
I'd die for her.
Oh, good. Now, where is he?
Four redcoats trot along the shore past a small upturned rowing boat. Once they've passed, the boat lifts up from the sand. Two pairs of human feet appear beneath it, and the boat scuttles like a crab towards the water. Jack and Will walk across the seabed, their heads inside the upturned boat, like a makeshift diving bell, moving under the wooden jetty towards the Dauntless.
This is either madness or brilliance.
It's remarkable how often those two traits coincide.
Will's foot steps through a lobster pot, and he grimaces uncomfortably. They pick their way along the seabed, Will still dragging the lobster pot after him. A small native boy fishing from a jetty watches as the float of the lobster pot bobs by. Will and Jack clamber up the towering hull of the Dauntless and over the stern rail. Jack, brandishing his pistol, and Will a sword, run across the quarterdeck towards the main deck.
Everyone stay calm. We are taking over the ship.
I am us!
The bewigged Captain Gillette looks down his nose at them.
This ship cannot be crewed by two men. You'll never make it out of the bay.
Jack cocks his gun.
Son, I'm Captain Jack Sparrow. Savvy?
On the jetty where the interceptor is being loaded, a naval officer looks up sharply.
Commodore!
Norrington follows the officer's gaze and looks through his telescope. He sees Captain Gillette in a rowing boat gesturing wildly.
Rash, Turner. Too rash.
That is without doubt the worst pirate I have ever seen.
On the Dauntless, Will hurries up to Jack.
Here they come.
The interceptor is sailing towards them. In the rowing boat, Gillette and his crew try to follow. Jack grins.
Bring her around! Bring her around!
The interceptor comes alongside the larger Dauntless. Norrington's men leap up onto her decks and swing into her rigging.
Search every cabin, every hole, down to the bilges.
As the redcoats pile aboard the Dauntless, Jack swings on a rope from the Dauntless to the interceptor, followed by Will. They cut the ropes tying them to the Dauntless, and the interceptor tears herself free, knocking the gangplanks between the two ships into the water. Norrington glances round.
Sailors, back to the interceptor! Now!
One man swings towards the interceptor on a rope, but misses.
Thank you, Commodore, for getting us ready to make way. We've had a hard time of it by ourselves.
Redcoats fire, but Will and Jack duck. Norrington is fuming.
Set topsails and clear up this mess.
With the wind a quarter astern, we won't catch them.
I don't need to catch them. Just get them in range of the long nines.
Out! Come about! Run out the guns! We are to fire on our own ships, huh?
I'd rather see her at the bottom of the ocean than in the hands of a pirate.
Commodore! He's disabled the rudder chain, sir!
In the rowing boat, Gillette looks up in horror as his own ship bears down on him. He and his officers jump out of the rowing boat in the nick of time. Norrington lowers his head, but not so his first officer.
That's got to be the best pirate I've ever seen.
So it would seem.
In bright sunshine, the interceptor cuts through the water under full sail, smoothly making its way out to sea.
When I was a lad living in England, my mother raised me by herself. After she died, I came out here, looking for my father.
Is that so?
My father, Bill Turner, at the jail. It was only after you learnt my name that you agreed to help. Since that's what I wanted, I didn't press the matter. I'm not a simpleton, Jack. You knew my father.
Jack stops pulling on a rope and looks Will squarely in the face.
I know him. Probably one of the few who knew him as William Turner. Everyone else just called him Bootstrap or Bootstrap Bill.
Bootstrap?
Good man. Good pirate. I swear you look just like him.
It's not true. He was a merchant sailor. A good, respectable man who obeyed the law.
He was a bloody pirate, a scallywag.
Will draws his sword.
My father was not a pirate.
Put it away, son. It's not worth you getting beat again.
You didn't beat me. You ignored the rules of engagement in a fair fight. I'd kill you.
That's not much incentive for me to fight fair, then, is it?
Jack puts the helm hard over and ducks. The boom swings across the deck, hitting Will in the chest. He clings to it with both arms, his legs flailing above the sea.
Now, as long as you're just hanging there, pay attention. The only rules that really matter are these. What a man can do and what a man can't do. For instance, you can accept that your father was a pirate and a good man, or you can't. pirate is in your blood, boy, so you'll have to square with that someday. Now, me, for example, I can let you drown. But I can't bring this ship into Tortuga all by me onesie, savvy? So.
Jack swings the boom back inboard, and Will tumbles onto the deck.
Can you sail under the command of a pirate?
Jack offers Will back his sword.
Or can you not?
With the hilt towards him, Will takes it.
Tortuga?
Tortuga.
Dwarfed by a circular outcrop of dark pointed rocks, they sail into the Bay of Tortuga, towards the twinkling lights of a small settlement. Jack leads Will through the dark, wild streets of Tortuga, big-bosomed women showing off their wares, drunkards totter as they keep on guzzling.
More importantly, this is indeed a sad life that has never breathed deep this sweet, proliferous bouquet that is Tortuga, savvy? What do you think?
Will sees one man drinking from two tankards.
It'll linger.
I'll tell you, mate, if every town in the world were like this one, no man would ever feel unwanted.
An auburn-haired woman marches up to Jack.
Scarlet!
His head spins round.
Not sure I deserve that.
A blonde appears.
Giselle.
Who was she?
What? I may have deserved that.
Curse you for breathing, you slut-jawed idiot!
Jack has poured water over a man sleeping on a pig.
Mother's love. Jack. You should know to wake a man when he's sleeping. It's bad luck.
Ah, fortunately, I know how to counter it. The man who did the waking buys the man who was sleeping a drink. The man who was sleeping drinks it while listening to a proposition from the man who did the waking.
The sweaty-faced man looks confused.
Aye, that'll about do it.
Will throws more water over him.
Last time already awake!
That was for the smell.
The pigman concedes the point. They come into an inn. Will looks in bewilderment at the brawling all around him. Jack murmurs to Will.
Keep a sharp eye.
Jack sits down in a quiet corner with the pigman, Joshimir Gibbs, the sailor who told Elizabeth to beware of pirates 8 years earlier.
Now, what's the nature of this venture you're in?
I'm going after the Black Pearl.
Gibbs chokes on his drink.
I know where it's going to be, and I'm going to take it.
Jack, it's a fool's errand. Are you no better than me, the tales of the Black Pearl?
That's why I know what Barbossa is up to. All I need is a crew.
What I hear tell of Captain Barbossa, he's not a man to suffer fools, nor strike a bargain with one.
Well, then I'd say it's a very good thing I'm not a fool, then, eh?
Prove me wrong. What makes you think Barbossa will give up his ship to you?
Let's just say it's a matter of leverage, eh?
Will glances over his shoulder at them. Jack, looking at Gibbs, rolls his eyes and repeatedly jerks his head in Will's direction. The penny drops, and Gibbs looks over at Will, who's being accosted by a chubby wench.
A kid?
That is the child of Bootstrap Bill Turner. His only child. Savvy?
Is he now?
Gibbs eyes Will with a sly look.
Leverage, says you. I think I feel a change in the wind, says I. I'll find us a crew. There's bound to be some sailors on this rock crazy as you.
One can only hope. Take what you can.
Give nothing back.
They clink tankards and down their drinks. The full moon shines its mournful light in the dark sky as the Black Pearl sails silently across the sea. On board ship, the bald-pated Pintel and Forsyth Draghetti come into Elizabeth's candlelit quarters carrying a bundle of clothes.
You'll be dining with the captain, and he requests you wear this.
She looks at them loftily.
Well, you may tell the captain that I am disinclined to acquiesce to his request.
He said you'd say that. He also said if that be the case, you'll be dining with the crew, and you'll be naked.
Draghetti giggles gleefully. Elizabeth grabs the clothes and dismisses both men with an imperious raised eyebrow.
Fine.
Sumptuous platters of food are laid on the captain's table. A suckling pig, a roasted bird. Candles are lit. As Elizabeth puts a small forkful to her mouth, Captain Barbossa watches her keenly.
There is no need to stand on ceremony, no call to impress anyone. You must be hungry.
Elizabeth drops her fork, bends down over her plate of food and starts to gnaw at the meat, pulling the flesh off the bone with her teeth. Scar-faced Barbossa watches her every move. He pours some wine. She grabs a piece of bread.
Try the wine.
She takes the golden goblet and gulps from it.
And the apples, one of those next.
Slowly she raises her eyes towards him. The brown-eyed monkey wearing a shirt and waistcoat sits very still, watching them. Elizabeth drops her piece of bread.
It's poisoned.
There would be no sense to be killing you, Miss Turner.
Then release me. You have your trinket. I'm of no further value to you.
He produces the gold medallion and chain in his hand.
You don't know what this is, do you?
It's a pirate medallion.
This is Aztec gold. One of 882 identical pieces they delivered in a stone chest to Cortez himself. Blood money paid to stem the slaughter he wreaked upon them with his armies. But the greed of Cortez was insatiable. So the heathen gods placed upon the gold a terrible curse. An immortal that removes but a single piece from that stone chest shall be punished for eternity.
I hardly believe in ghost stories anymore, Captain Barbossa.
That's exactly what I thought when we were first told the tale. Buried on an island of the dead, what cannot be found, except for those who know where it is. Find it, we did. There'll be the chest. Inside be the gold. And we took them all. We spent them and traded them and frittered them away. Drink and food and pleasurable company. The more we gave them away, the more we came to realize the drink would not satisfy. Food turned to ash in our mouths. And all the pleasurable company in the world could not slake our lust. We accursed men, Miss Turner. Compelled by greed we were, but now we are consumed by it.
The monkey jumps up and down in agitation. As Barbossa goes to pacify it, Elizabeth takes a knife and conceals it under her napkin.
There is one way we can end our curse.
Barbossa hands the medallion to the monkey, who climbs onto his shoulder.
All the scattered pieces of the Aztec gold must be restored, and the blood repaid. Thanks to ye, we have the final piece.
And the blood to be repaid?
That's why there's no sense to be killing you. Yet.
Barbossa holds the green apple again.
Apple.
Elizabeth lashes out at him with the knife. In the ensuing struggle, she stabs Barbossa in the chest. Calmly, he pulls the knife out again.
I'm curious. After killing me, what is it you're planning on doing next?
She backs away in horror and out through a door onto the deck. In terror, she gapes at the skeletal figures looming up in front of her, bathed in the eerie blue and white moonlight. Some are bent forward, turning the capstan, some hammering, all of them skeletons. Hollow-eyed cadavers swab the deck. Elizabeth falls backward through an open hatchway into the hold and lands on a sail held by four skeletons. They toss her high up into the rigging. As she falls, a pirate swinging past on a rope catches her in his rotting arms. He sets her down on deck. Another skeleton chases her around the ship's wheel. She spins the wheel, the spokes hitting him repeatedly under the chin until his skull falls off. The skeleton gathers up his skull and puts it back into position. Elizabeth hares down the quarterdeck steps and hides behind them. A corpse-like monkey grins at her, the medallion in its grip. She runs back towards the cabin.
Look! The moonlight shows us for what we really are. We are not among the living, so we cannot die. But neither are we dead. For too long I've been parched of thirst and unable to quench it. Too long I've been starving to death and haven't died. I feel nothing. Not the wind on my face, nor the spray of the sea. Nor the warmth of a woman's flesh.
His hand turns to bone.
You best start believing in ghost stories, Miss Turner. You're in one.
Barbossa's head becomes a grinning skull. He pulls a cork out of a bottle and drinks. The liquid passes through his transparent esophagus and splashes down through his ribcage. Elizabeth sprints inside. Barbossa's ghost smashes the bottle and slams the doors shut. He faces his men.
What are you looking at? Back to work!
His zombie crew rattle away. Elizabeth sits huddled in her cabin, trembling. In daylight on Tortuga.
Feast your eyes, Captain. All of them faithful hands before the mast. Every man worth his salt.
Including a midget.
And crazy to boot.
So this is your able-bodied crew.
Jack, inspecting his recruits, stops in front of a man with a parrot on his shoulder.
You, sailor.
Cotton, sir.
Mr. Cotton, do you have the courage and fortitude to follow orders and stay true in the face of danger and almost certain death? Mr. Cotton! Answer, man.
He's a mute, sir. Poor devil had his tongue cut out. So we trained the parrot to talk for him. No one yet figured how.
Mr. Cotton's parrot. Same question.
When it is sails! When it is sails!
Mostly we figure that means yes.
Of course it does. Satisfied?
Well, you've proved they're mad.
And what's the benefit for us?
Jack and Will look round towards the source of the voice. They creep forward. Jack lifts the brim of one volunteer's hat. It's a brown-skinned woman with long, dark hair.
Anna Maria. I suppose you didn't deserve that one either.
No, that one I deserve.
You stole my boat!
Actually.
Borrowed. Borrowed without permission.
But with every intention of bringing it back.
But you didn't!
You'll get another one.
She points her finger at him.
I will.
A better one.
A better one?
That one.
What one?
Will points to the interceptor riding at anchor.
That one!
The others all look at him, challengingly.
Aye, that one. What say you?
Aye!
Anna Maria puts on her hat and goes to follow the men.
No. It's frightful bad luck to bring a woman aboard, sir.
It'll be far worse not to ever.
Jack leaves Will and Gibbs staring up into the heavens with foreboding. The interceptor is being buffeted in a night storm. Jack Sparrow is at the helm, trying to read his compass. Will, hanging onto a rope for dear life, manages to tie it down, with Gibbs's help.
How can we sail to an island that nobody can find? With a compass that doesn't work!
Aye, the compass doesn't work north! But we're not trying to find north, are we?
Jack stares into the geometrical pattern on his compass, then puts it away. Gibbs staggers up through the sheeting rain onto the quarterdeck towards him.
We should drop canvas, sir! She can hold a bit longer! What's in your head has put you in such a fine mood, Captain? We're catching up!
Jack's eyes gleam with confidence. The Black Pearl with its tattered sails is anchored in a misty inlet. Elizabeth peers anxiously through a window. The door of her cabin opens. Pintel and Rigetti come in.
Time to go, Poppy.
On the quarterdeck with her evil minders round her, she stands with her hands manacled in front of her. Behind her, Barbossa hangs the medallion around her neck. A small flotilla of boats are being rowed into the entrance of a dark sea cave. Barbossa in his feathered, broad-brimmed hat and the monkey on his shoulder stands in the prow of the leading boat. Slowly the boats disappear into the cave. itself just a small, dark, hidden corner of this forbidding volcanic island, enveloped in mist. The Interceptor moves slowly through a graveyard of wrecked vessels. The crew lined up on the sides of their ship stare in dread at this evidence of misfortune. The parrot perches on the bowsprit, Gibbs to Will.
Puts a chill in the bones how many honest sailors have been claimed by this passage.
As their hull moves through the brackish water, sharks circle menacingly under the surface of the sea. Jack consults his compass. Will follows Gibbs along the main deck.
How is it that Jack came by that compass?
Not a lot's known about Jack Sparrow, for he showed up in Tortuga with a mind to go after the treasure of the Isla de Muerta. That was before I'd met him, back when he was captain of the Black Pearl.
Will spins round.
What?
Gibbs chokes on his hip flask.
You failed to mention that.
Well, he placed things closer to the vest now, and a hard-learned lesson it was. See, 3 days out on the venture, the first mate comes to him and says everything's an equal share. That should mean the location of the treasure, too. Though Jack gives up the bearings. That night, there was a mutiny. They marooned Jack on an island and left him to die, but not before he'd gone mad with the heat.
So that's the reason for all the...
Will lurches and rolls his eyes like Jack.
Reason's got nothing to do with it. Now, Will, when a pirate's marooned, he's given a pistol with a single shot. One shot! Well, that won't do much good hunting nor to be rescued. But after 3 weeks of a starving belly and thirst, that pistol start to look real friendly. But Jack, he escaped the island, and he still has that single shot. Oh, he won't use it, though, save on one man. He's mutinous first mate.
Barbossa.
Aye.
How did Jack get off the island?
Well, I'll tell you. He waded out into the shallows, and he waited there 3 days and 3 nights, till all manner of sea creatures came acclimated to his presence. Then on the fourth morning, he roped himself a couple of sea turtles, lashed them together, and made a raft.
He roped a couple of sea turtles?
Aye, sea turtles.
Will looks deeply into Gibbs's face.
What did he use for rope?
Gibbs's mouth drops open. He looks up and sees Jack standing over them.
Human hair. From my back. Let go of the anchor!
Lower the anchor!
Young Mr. Turner and I are to go ashore. Captain, what if the worst should happen? Keep to the code.
Aye, the code.
Elizabeth follows Barbossa's men into a cavernous chamber in the cave. In the center, a huge mound of stolen treasure. Her lips tremble as her eyes focus on an engraved stone treasure chest. Silver plates, goblets, candlesticks are tossed onto the growing pile. Pintel and Raghetti carry a chest between them.
10 years of hoarding swag!
Now we finally get to spend it!
They turn it upside down, spilling out the contents of corsets and petticoats. Raghetti picks up a satin corset and a parasol.
Once we're quit of the curse, we'll be rich men. And you can buy an eye what actually fits and's made of glass.
This one does splinter something terrible.
Raghetti rubs his ill-fitting eye.
Stop rubbing it!
The bosun glares at them as he comes by. Pintel wallops Raghetti with his parasol. Lighting their way with a lantern, Jack and Will move slowly through the dark cave, with Jack at the oars of their small boat. The lantern shines on a human skeleton impaled on a stake.
What code is Gibbs to keep to if the worst should happen?
Pirate's code. Any man who falls behind is left behind.
No heroes amongst thieves, eh?
You know, for having such a bleak outlook on pirates, you're well on your way to becoming one. Sprung a man from jail. Commandeered a ship of the fleet. Sailed with a buccaneer crew out of Tortuga. And you're completely obsessed with treasure.
They pass a pile of gold coins under the water.
That's not true. I am not obsessed with treasure.
They scramble out of the boat and make their way up to an opening in the rock that leads to Barbossa's treasure trove.
Not all treasure is silver and gold, mate.
Gentlemen, the time has come! Our salvation is nigh! Our torment is nearing us!
Elizabeth!
For 10 years we've been tested and tried, and each man, Jack of you here, has proved his mettle 100 times over. And 100 times again! So good I am! Punished we were! The lavish, disproportionate to our crime.
Will and Jack watch from a distance.
Here it is.
Barbossa kicks open the heavy chest, which is full of the gold medallions.
The cursed treasure of Cortez himself. Every last piece that went astray, we have returned. Save for this.
Jack!
Not yet.
Barbossa's monkey looks up sharply.
We wait for the opportune moment.
When's that? When it's of greatest profit to you.
May I ask you something? Have I ever given you reason not to trust me? Do us a favor. I know it's difficult for you. But please, stay here. And try not to do anything stupid.
Jack hurries away, leaving Will unrepentant.
And who among us has paid the blood sacrifice owed to the heathen gods? And whose blood must yet be paid?
The pirates all point at Elizabeth.
You know the first thing I'm going to do after the curse is lifted?
Eat a whole bushel of apples.
Barbossa pushes Elizabeth down onto the rim of the chest and grabs a dagger as the pirates work themselves into a frenzy.
Begun by blood! The blood undone!
Jack has slipped closer to the action. Will creeps up on him.
Sorry, Jack. I'm not going to be your leverage.
He tosses away the oar he's used to knock out Jack. Barbossa snaps the medallion from Elizabeth's neck and puts it in her hand. He cuts her palm with his blade. She gasps in surprise.
That's it?
Waste not.
He closes her bleeding hand around the medallion and chain, then prizes open her fingers and lets the ornament, blood-stained and spinning, drop into the open chest to join the rest of Cortez's gold. Barbossa, still holding up the dagger, lets go of Elizabeth's hand. He steps forward, his eyes shutting in a trance-like state. Will, unseen by the pirates who are all watching their captain, creeps swiftly around the perimeter wall of the cave. Pintel and Ragetti wait expectantly for something to happen. Barbossa's eyes snap open.
Did it work?
A grisly pirate addresses him.
I don't feel no different.
How do we tell?
Barbossa brings out his pistol. Pintel looks down at the bullet hole in his chest.
You're not dead.
No. He shot me.
It didn't work.
The curse is still upon us. Yes.
Barbossa snatches back the medallion and turns to Elizabeth.
You made your father. What was his name? Was your father William Turner?
No.
Where's his child? The child that sailed from England 8 years ago. The child in whose veins flows the blood of William Turner. Where?
Her eyes blaze at him defiantly. He slaps her face and she tumbles down the mound of treasure, dropping the medallion. The bosun.
You two! You brought us the wrong person!
No! She had the medallion. She's a proper age.
Will surfaces from under the shallow water on the floor of the cave. Elizabeth gasps as he covers her mouth. She grabs the medallion, and they flee.
You brought us here for nothing! I won't take questioning or second guesses, not from the likes of you, Master Twig.
Who's to blame? Every decision you've made led us from bad to worse.
Nobody notices they're gone.
It was you who sent Bootstrap to the ditch! Yeah!
Except the sharp-toothed monkey.
Who brought us here in the first place?
If any coward here dare challenge me, let him speak.
I say we cut her throat and spill all our blood, just in case. Yeah!
Barbossa looks at his monkey, pointing to where Jack is coming to. Barbossa turns his head sharply and scans the empty mound under his feet.
The medallion! She's taken it! Get out of here, you speckless pack of ingrates!
The pirates pirates carrying flaming torches and swords surge out of the cave. They come to the mooring where they left their boats.
The oars have gone missing! Find them!
As the pirates dither about, Jack Sparrow lurches out of the shadows, holding the oar Will hit him with. Pintel looks up at him in amazement.
You!
You're supposed to be dead!
Am I not?
Jack tries to retreat, but finds himself cornered by pistols and knives. His eyes roll as his lips try to form a word. The pirates look mystified.
Parley?
That's the one! Parley! Parley!
Parley!
Down to the depths, whatever mutton they thought of Parley!
That would be the French.
On the water, Will and Elizabeth climb out of their small rowing boat and up onto the deck of the Interceptor, where the whole crew are lined up. Elizabeth looks at them in horror.
No more pirates.
Welcome aboard, Miss Elizabeth.
Mr. Gibbs?
Hey, boy, where be Jack?
Jack? Jack Sparrow?
Fell behind.
Will hastily ushers Elizabeth away from the main deck. Gibbs, visibly upset, turns to the crew, who seem similarly shocked.
Keep to the code!
Anna Maria takes over. While Gibbs mourns his pirate captain. In the cave, Barbossa confronts his former captain.
How the blazes did you get off that island?
When you marooned me on that godforsaken spit of land, you forgot one very important thing, mate. I'm Captain Jack Sparrow.
Ah, well, I won't be making that mistake again.
Gents, y'all remember Captain Jack Sparrow.
Kill him.
The pirates take aim.
The girl's blood didn't work, did it?
Barbossa's eyes shine out of the darkness.
Hold your fire!
He steps up to Jack.
You know whose blood we need.
I know whose blood you need.
Out at sea, the Interceptor sails for home. In the cabin, Elizabeth, binding her cut hand, is sitting with Will.
What sort of a man trades a man's life for a ship?
Pirate. Here. Let me.
He takes her hand.
Thank you.
And wraps the bandage round it.
You said you gave Barbossa my name as yours. Why?
I don't know.
She winces.
I'm sorry. Blacksmith's hands, I know they're rough.
No, I mean, yes, they are, but...
He touches her hand as gently as he can.
But don't stop.
His shining brown eyes look up and meet her intense, dark-eyed gaze. Their faces move towards each other.
Elizabeth.
She pulls back from him, and with her hand, leads his hand from her swan-like neck towards her breast, and brings out the medallion hanging on its chain around her neck. He gazes at the skull engraved in the center with the geometrical patterns round it.
It's yours.
His eyes brim with tears as he contemplates it.
I thought I'd lost it the day they rescued me. It was a gift from my father. He sent it to me.
Elizabeth lowers her eyes guiltily.
Why did you take it?
Because I was afraid that you were a pirate. That would have been awful.
It wasn't your blood they needed. It was my father's blood. My blood.
He closes his fist around the medallion and lets his head sink forward.
The blood of a pirate.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me.
He smashes his hand down on the table. Elizabeth, not knowing what to say, turns away. Will's fingers forlornly trace the patterns on the medallion. On the Black Pearl, Jack and Barbossa are sitting at the dining table.
So you expect to leave me standing on some beach with nothing but a name and your word it's the one I need and watch you sail away in my ship?
No. I expect to leave you standing on some beach with absolutely no name at all, watching me sail away on my ship, and then I'll shout the name back to you. Savvy?
But that still leaves us with the problem of me standing on some beach with naught but a name and your word. It's the one I need.
Of the two of us, I am the only one who hasn't committed mutiny. Therefore, my word is the one we'll be trusting. Although, I suppose I should be thanking you because, in fact, if you hadn't betrayed me and left me to die, I would have an equal share in that curse, same as you. Funny old world, isn't it?
Jack bites into one of Barbossa's apples, then teasingly offers him some.
Captain, we're coming up on the interceptor.
The monkey jumps into the air, and Jack hurries up on deck and leans out over the side to see the interceptor on the horizon. He leaps up onto the poop deck where Barbossa is looking at the ship through his telescope. Jack's face appears in his sights.
I'm having a thought here,
Barbossa.
What say we run up a flag of truce? I scurry over to the interceptor and I negotiate the return of your medallion, eh? What say you to that?
Now you see, Jack, that's exactly the attitude that lost you the pearl. People are easy to search when they're dead. Lock him in the brig.
The bosun puts a heavy hand on Jack's slender shoulder. Barbossa looks at the green apple in his hand and angrily hurls it in the sea. Ahead, the interceptor is plowing through the waves. Elizabeth comes up on deck.
Hands aloft to loose the gallant! With this wind dead astern, she'll carry every sail we've got!
What's happening? The Black Pearl! She's gaining on us!
Elizabeth peers over the starboard rail at the Black Pearl moving swiftly towards them.
This is the fastest ship in the Caribbean!
You can tell them that after they've caught us.
We're shallower on the draft, right?
Aye.
Well, then can't we lose them amongst those shoals?
We don't have to outrun them long. Just long enough.
Land in the ship! Land the stone!
Anything we can afford to lose! See that it's last!
On the Black Pearl, the shaven-headed bosun locks Jack in a barred cell below decks.
Apparently there's a leak.
Jack peers through a tiny knothole in the ship's side and sees the jettisoned stores bobbing on the top of the water in the wake of the interceptor. Barbossa, his good humor restored, is at the helm.
All on the main brace! Make ready the guns!
Run out the sweeps.
The gun ports on the Black Pearl open up and the cannons are run out. The pirate flag is hoisted to the top of the mast. More bundles, crates and boxes are tossed off the back of the interceptor. Will, coming up on deck, watches the frenetic activity. He swings himself up onto the rigging and sees the oars coming out of the Black Pearl's oar ports. A sailor prepares to jettison one of the cannons. Will puts his foot firmly on the barrel.
We're going to need that.
The Black Pearl is no more than 50 meters behind the interceptor. Elizabeth watches helplessly as the pursuing vessel gains on them.
It was a good plan. Up till now.
Get! We have to make a stand. We must fight! Load the guns!
With what?
Anything! Everything! Anything we have left!
Load the guns! Case shot and language! Nails and crushed glass!
Will glances manfully at Elizabeth and hurries off.
With a will!
Knives and forks, the contents of every bucket and storage container, even Gibbs's drinking flask, are stuffed into the muzzles of the cannons. Under his tattered sails, Barbossa, with his monkey in his arms, seems calm as the oars of the Black Pearl plow through the water. At the helm of the interceptor, Anna Maria glances nervously over her shoulder.
The Pearl's gonna luff up on our port quarter! She'll rake us without ever presenting a target!
Lower the anchor on the right side. On the starboard side!
It certainly has the element of surprise.
You're daft, lady! You both are!
Daft like Jack! Lower the starboard anchor! Deutsche Gods! Or it's you we'll load into the cannon!
Will leaps down to help lower the anchor. On the Black Pearl, Barbossa scratches the monkey's head thoughtfully. As the anchor embeds itself, the interceptor lists to one side, sending tables and furniture flying. Elizabeth to Anna Maria.
Let go!
Anna Maria lets go of the wheel and it spins free. The interceptor turns back on itself so that the Pearl will come alongside.
They're club on! Hard of horns, reckless starboard oars!
Hard of what?
In his cell, Jack is tossed against the bars. The Black Pearl's starboard oars are pulled in as it arrives alongside the waiting interceptor. Jack watches from his knothole as the two vessels are side by side.
Keep her steady, man!
The two crews shout and jeer at each other. Barbossa draws his sword. Will is the first to shout the order. Cannons fire broadside to broadside, the vessels just meters apart. As men tumble into the ocean, a cannon tears a hole in Jack's cell.
Stop blowing holes in my ship!
A spoon embeds itself in the gunport next to Pintel's bald head. A fork skewers Ragetti's wooden eye. Pintel pulls out the fork with a false eye stuck on the end of its prongs. The two men stare at the cutlery embedded in the hull around them. Jack sits in a pool of water. He reaches for Gibbs' flask as it floats past him and lifts it hopefully to his lips. Only then does he notice the lock has been blown from his cell door. He gets up and gently pushes it open.
We need us a devil's dowry.
We'll give him half.
Anna Maria grabs Elizabeth. Elizabeth looks down at her chest.
A medallion.
She's not wearing it. Will races along the deck, opens a hatchway and jumps down into the hold and begins frantically searching. On the Black Pearl, men roll powder kegs to the waiting guns. Pintel and Ragetti load a cannon with ball and chain shot.
Hands, grundles at the ready! Prepare to board!
While Will searches the hold, Pintel fires his cannon, severing the interceptor's main mast. Men are hurled down from the masthead. Mast and sails crash down, smothering the decks of both ships. In the dark, Will struggles to his feet in the wrecked hold. A monkey scampers across the capsized mast. Barbossa's men throw grappling lines into the rigging and swing across to the interceptor. Below, Will is trapped. As pirates swing across on the ropes, Elizabeth fires at them. Following Barbossa's orders, two pirates, Cola and Twig, thunder down the interceptor's companionway towards the powder store. Will vainly tries to attract attention from his watery hellhole. The battle rages up on both decks with men plummeting into the water. Cola and Twig lay a trail of gunpowder leading to the powder kegs in the interceptor's hold. Aboard the Black Pearl, nobody notices Jack come up on deck. He grabs a rope from a pirate swinging past him. The man plummets to the deck.
Thanks very much.
Jack swings across to the interceptor. He misses his landing but accidentally knocks down a pirate who's just about to kill Gibbs. He swings a second time and lands next to Gibbs.
Jack
hands him the hip flask.
Bloody empty.
Gibbs fights with renewed vigor. Will, with water rising round him, turns to see the monkey with the medallion. He grabs for it, but the monkey scampers off through a gap in the wreckage. Elizabeth is fighting two pirates. Jack grabs one of them. And Elizabeth...
That's not very nice.
...sends him tumbling into the water. Jack turns to her.
Where's the medallion?
Wretch!
He eyes her bandaged hand.
Where's the William?
She looks round in alarm.
Will.
She runs to a hatchway and sees him trapped below.
Elizabeth!
Jack spots the monkey with the medallion.
Monkey!
Jack scampers after it. Will and Elizabeth strain to free the jammed hatchway.
I can't move it!
Two pirates grab her.
Elizabeth!
In the hold, the water is up to Will's shoulders. Jack, on all fours, follows the monkey back across the fallen mast. He reaches out and looks up to see Captain Barbossa dangling the medallion in his hand.
Well, thank you, Jack.
You're welcome.
Not you. We named the monkey Jack. Gents, our hope is restored!
Jack gives a beaming, sarcastic smile. As the water bubbles up above Will's head, he takes a deep breath and starts to swim downwards. Somewhere above him, Twig sets fire to the trail of gunpowder leading to the powder store. Underwater, Will slips down through the shattered ribs of the lower decks, while the trail of flame moves inexorably towards the pile of gunpowder kegs. On board the Black Pearl, Barbossa, holding the medallion, contemplates the damaged interceptor now some distance away, while Pintel addresses the prisoners.
Any of you so much as thinks the word parley, I'll have your guts for garters.
Elizabeth breaks from the prisoner's cordon. Everyone turns to see the interceptor blown to smithereens. She hurls herself at Barbossa.
Stop it! Welcome back, Liz. You took advantage of our hospitality last time. It holds fair now. You return the favor.
He shoves her straight into the arms of his crew. Will climbs up onto the ship.
Barbossa!
Everyone looks round. Will jumps onto the deck and points a pistol.
She goes free!
What's in your head, boy?
She goes free.
We've only got one shot, and we can't die.
Jack.
Don't do anything stupid.
Will puts his gun to his own throat.
You can't. I can.
Elizabeth struggles to free herself.
Who are you?
No one. He's no one.
A distant cousin of my aunt's nephew, twice removed.
Lovely singing voice, though. Munich.
My name is Will Turner. My father was Bootstrap Bill Turner. His blood runs in my veins.
This is a spitting image of old Bootstrap Bill. Come back to all of us.
On my word, do as I say, or I'll pull this trigger and be lost to Davy Jones' locker.
Name your terms, Mr. Turner.
Elizabeth goes free.
Yes, we know that one. Anything else?
Jack mimes to prompt Will's next answer.
And the crew. The crew are not to be harmed.
Jack looks intently at Will, while Barbossa gives a rotten-toothed smile.
Agreed.
The Black Pearl sails towards a small, palm-fringed atoll. On board, the pirates are jabbing with their swords in a frenzy. Elizabeth is being made to walk the plank. Picking up the hem of the dark red dress Barbossa made her wear, she walks to the edge. Will, who's tied up, bares his teeth at Barbossa.
Barbossa, you lying bastard! You swore she'd go free!
Don't dare impugn me on her, boy! I agreed she'd go free, but it was you who failed to specify when or where.
Will is bound and gagged.
Though it does seem a shame to lose something so fine, don't it, lads?
His pockmarked face leers.
Thought we'd be having that dress back before you go.
Haughtily, Elizabeth unfastens the dress. Jack is being held fast by Grizzly Cola.
I always liked you.
Elizabeth takes off the dress and tosses it at Barbossa.
Goes with your black heart.
Barbossa holds it to his cheek.
Oh, it's still warm.
With her head held high, Elizabeth, in her petticoat, steps towards the edge of the plank.
Come on!
She glances back at Will.
Too long!
The bosun stamps on the plank and Elizabeth falls into the water. Will's eyes are full of fear. She surfaces. Up on deck, it's Jack Sparrow's turn to be dragged to the plank.
I'd really rather hope we were past all this.
Jack. Jack. Did you not notice? That be the same little island that we made you governor of on our last little trip.
I did notice.
Perhaps you'll be able to conjure up another miraculous escape. But I doubt it.
Barbossa unsheathes his sword.
Off you go.
Last time you left me a pistol with one shot.
With the powers, you're right. Where'll be Jack's pistol? Bring it forward.
Cola hands Barbossa Jack's pistol.
Seeing as there's two of us, a gentleman will give us a pair of pistols.
It'll be one pistol as before, and you can be the gentleman and shoot the lady and starve to death yourself.
Barbossa tosses Jack's weapons into the sea. Jack watches them go under, then dives in, his legs as straight as a knife. He surges down to the seabed with fish darting round him. He makes straight for the pistol lying on a rock on the seabed. Elizabeth wades onto the shore of the atoll with Jack a few paces behind her. He turns to look back at the Black Pearl moving off towards the horizon.
That's the second time I've had to watch that man sail away with my ship.
He starts to walk away from the sandy beach.
But you were marooned on this island before, weren't you? So we can escape in the same way you did then.
To what point and purpose, young missy? The Black Pearl is gone. Unless you have a rudder and a lot of sails hidden in that bodice. Unlikely. Young Mr. Turner will be dead long before you can reach him.
He takes measured steps from a palm tree.
But you're Captain Jack Sparrow. You vanished from under the eyes of 7 agents of the East India Company. You sacked Nassau Port without even firing a shot. Are you the pirate I've read about or not?
He tests the strangely bouncy ground.
How did you escape last time?
He opens a trap door under the sand and drops down into the concealed chamber beneath it.
Last time, I was here a grand total of 3 days, all right. Last time, the rum runners used this island as a cache. Came by and I was able to barter passage off. From the looks of things, they've long been out of business. Probably have your bloody friend Norrington to thank for that.
So that's it then. That's the secret grand adventure of the infamous Jack Sparrow. He spent 3 days lying on a beach drinking rum.
Jack raises up 2 bottles of rum.
Welcome to the Caribbean, love.
He hands her one of them and moves past her. She looks at the bottle in her hand. Later at night, they dance drunkenly around a campfire. He loses his balance and flops down on the sand.
When I get the pearl back, I'm going to teach it to the whole crew. And we'll sing it all the time.
Then you will be positively the most fearsome pirates in the Spanish Main.
Not just the Spanish Main, love. The entire ocean. The entire world. Wherever we want to go, we go. That's what a ship is, you know. It's not just a keel and a hull and a deck and sails. That's what a ship needs. But what a ship is. What the Black Pearl really is freedom.
She snuggles up to him.
Jack, it must be really terrible for you to be trapped on this island.
Oh, yes. But the company is infinitely better than last time, and the scenery has definitely improved.
Miss Sparrow, I'm not entirely sure that I've had enough rum to allow that kind of talk.
I know exactly what you mean, love.
He twirls his drooping moustache and slowly puts his arm around her neck.
To freedom!
To the Black Pearl.
They clink bottles. Jack downs some more rum, but Elizabeth only pretends to. She watches him gulp down the rest, rolling her eyes. He wakes up on the beach the next morning to find her making a huge bonfire. He springs to his feet as he sees her hurling bottles and debris onto the fire. He waves his arms.
No! Not good! Stop! Not good! What are you doing? You burned all the food, the shade, the rum!
Yes, the rum is gone.
Why is the rum gone?
One, because it is a vile drink that turns even the most respectable men into complete scoundrels. Two, that signal is over 1,000 feet high. The entire Royal Navy is out looking for me. Do you really think that there is even the slightest chance that they won't see it?
But why is the rum gone?
Just wait, Captain Sparrow. You give it 1 hour, maybe two, keep a weather eye open and you will see white sails on that horizon.
In helpless desperation and anger, he produces his pistol and strides off down the beach.
Must have been terrible for you to be trapped here, Jack. Must have been terrible for you. Well, it bloody is now!
He stops in his tracks at the sight of the Dauntless approaching the atoll.
There'll be no living with her after this.
Elizabeth to her father.
But we've got to save Will!
No! You're safe now. We will return to Port Royal immediately, not go gallivanting after pirates.
Then we condemn him to death.
The boy's fate is regrettable. But then so is his decision to engage in piracy.
To rescue me? To prevent anything from happening to me?
If I may be so bold as to check my professional opinion, if Pearl was listing near to Scuppers after the battle, it's very unlikely she'd be able to make good time. Think about it. The Black Pearl. The last real pirate threat in the Caribbean, mate. Can you pass that out, Frank?
Jack gives Norrington a beguiling smile.
By remembering that I serve others, Mr. Sparrow, not only myself.
Commodore, I beg you, please do this. For me. As a wedding gift.
Norrington turns sharply.
Elizabeth, are you accepting the Commodore's proposal?
I am.
A wedding. I love weddings. Drinks all around.
Jack smiles sheepishly at Norrington.
I know. Clap him in irons, right?
Norrington maintains his stern demeanor.
Mr. Sparrow, you will accompany these fine men to the helm and provide us with a bearing to Isla de Muerta. You will then spend the rest of the voyage contemplating all possible meanings of the phrase silent as the grave. Do I make myself clear?
Inescapably.
Jack is frog-marched away. On the Pearl, Pintel and Rigetti are slopping out the cells, where Will and the rest are chained up.
Cotney says you missed a bit.
Will addresses Pintel.
You knew William Turner?
Old Bootstrap Bill. We knew him. Never sat well with Bootstrap, what we did to Jack Sparrow. The mutiny and all. He said it wasn't right with the code. That's why he sent off a piece of the treasure to you, as it were. He said we deserve to be cursed. And remain cursed.
Stupid blighter.
Good man. Well, as you can imagine, that didn't sit too well with the captain.
That didn't sit too well with the captain at all. Tell him what Barbosa did.
I'm telling a story!
So, what the captain did, he strapped a cannon to Bootstrap's bootstraps.
Bootstraps, bootstraps.
And last we saw of old Bill Turner, he was sinking to the crushing black oblivion of Davy Jones' locker. Of course, it was only after that we learned we needed his blood to lift the curse.
That's what you call ironic.
Barbosa appears.
Bring him.
At night, Norrington and Jack lead two boats of redcoats to spy on the Black Pearl at her moorings.
I don't care for the situation. Any attempt to storm the caves could turn to an ambush.
Not if you're the one doing the ambushing. I go in, I've convinced Barbosa to send his men out with their little boats. You and your mates return to the Dauntless and blast the bejesus out of them with your little cannons, eh? What do you have to lose?
Nothing I'd lament being rid of.
Now, to be quite honest with you, there's still a slight risk to those aboard the Dauntless, which includes the future Mrs. Commodore.
Elizabeth is escorted to her cabin.
Sorry, but it's for your own safety.
Coward, the Commodore! What did I have to tell him? Pirates! They're cursed! They can't be killed!
Don't worry, miss. He's already informed of that. A little mermaid flopped up on deck and told him the whole story.
What is Jack Sparrow's doing?
With the Dauntless moored not far from shore, Jack rows his small boat into the mouth of the cave, a faint smile on his face. Will, meanwhile, is being led to the treasure chamber.
No reason to fret. Just a prick of the finger, a few drops of blood.
No mistakes this time. He's only half Turner. We spill it all!
Rigetti turns to Pintel.
Yes, there is reason to fret.
They follow the other pirates into the treasure chamber. Will, with his arms tied behind his back, is being prepared for the sacrifice. Jack makes his way through the baying throng.
Begin the blood!
Excuse me.
The blood!
He pushes his way through to the front. Will spots him, and Barbossa's eyes roll.
Jack! It's not possible.
Not probable.
Where's Elizabeth?
She's safe, just like I promised. She's all set to marry Norrington, just like she promised. And you get to die for her, just like you promised. So we're all men of our word, really. Except for Elizabeth, who is, in fact, a woman.
Shut up! You're next!
Will is pushed down on the lid of the chest.
You don't want to be doing that, mate.
No, I really think I do.
Your funeral.
Jack shrugs nonchalantly. Barbossa turns to look at him.
Why don't I want to be doing it?
Well, because the HMS Dauntless, pride of the Royal Navy, is floating just offshore, waiting for you.
The pirates turn to one another. In darkness outside, Norrington leads his redcoats in a small flotilla of rowing boats.
What are we doing here?
The pirates come out, unprepared and unawares.
We catch them in a crossfire.
Send them down to see old Hob. I know why we're here. I mean, why aren't we doing what it was, what Mr. Sparrow said we should do? With the cannons and all.
Because it was Mr. Sparrow who said it.
Murtagh and Mulroy exchange a glance.
Do you think he wasn't telling the truth?
Just hear me out, mate. You order your men to row out to the Dauntless. They do what they do best. Robert's your uncle, Fanny's your aunt. There you are with two ships. The makings of your very own fleet. Of course, you'll take the Grandest as your flagship, and who's to argue? But what of the Pearl? Name me, Captain. I'll sail under your colours. I'll give you 10% of me plunder, and you get to introduce yourself as Commodore Barbossa. Savvy?
I suppose in exchange you want me not to kill the whelp.
No, it's all by all means. Kill the whelp. Just not yet. Wait to lift the curse until the opportune moment.
He reaches into the stone chest of Aztec coins.
For instance, after you've killed Norrington's men, every last one.
Jack and Barbossa stare at one another. Barbossa doesn't notice Jack secretly palm one of the gold coins and slip it up his sleeve. But Will does.
You've been planning this from the beginning. Ever since you learned my name.
Yeah.
Jack looks at Will unrepentantly.
I want 50% of your plunder.
15.
40.
25. I'll buy you the hat. A really big one. Commodore.
Barbossa smiles and offers his hand.
We have an accord.
All hands to the boats.
Barbossa stares at Jack.
Apologies. You give the orders.
Gents, take a walk.
Jack looks across at Barbossa, mystified.
Not to the boats.
Barbossa returns the stare. As the pirates file excitedly out of the treasure trove, the shaven-headed bosun thrusts some women's clothing at Pintel and Rigetti. Outside, the full moon appears from behind the clouds. Underwater, the keel of the Dauntless floats above the shallow, moon-dappled sand. A shoal of fish disperses as Barbossa's army of skeletal pirates loom out of the distance, walking slowly across the seabed in the direction of their ship. Their plaited dreadlocks and tattered clothes stream out behind them as they make their way past the anchor cables and halt in the shadow of the hull. Inshore, the redcoats in their boats raise their muskets as two women with parasols row out of the mouth of the cave.
Hold fire.
Shaded by his parasol, Rigetti grins at Pintel.
Well, this is just like what the Greeks done at Troy. Except they was in a horse instead of dresses. Wooden horse.
Hand over mouldering hand, The pirates swarm up the Dauntless's anchor cables, daggers and swords clenched between their teeth. On board, Swan approaches the guard outside his daughter's cabin.
Moment, please.
The guard moves out of earshot.
Elizabeth?
Candlelight glows through the glass of the door.
I just want you to know, I believe you made a very good decision today. Couldn't be more proud of you. But you know, even a good decision, if made for the wrong reasons, can be a wrong decision.
Stealthily, the ghoulish pirates crawl up the side of the ship and onto the deck. A sailor on the quarterdeck looks over the stern of the vessel.
Lieutenant?
Everyone on the quarterdeck looks behind them. Gillette focuses his telescope on the distant rowing boat. Raghetti waves coquettishly. Behind the backs of the distracted officers, the pirates slither onto the deck and up onto the rigging. Outside Elizabeth's cabin, Swan frowns, puzzled.
Elizabeth? Are you there?
He peers through the dimpled glass of the door.
Elizabeth, are you even listening to me?
At the stern of the ship, knotted sheets lead from the windows of Elizabeth's cabin down to the water, and a willowy figure rows away in a tiny boat. On deck, a redcoat has his throat slit from behind. His assailant moves swiftly to the next sentry. As other skeletal pirates glide silently down from the rigging to join their confederates, Swan looks out of the window at the knotted sheets.
Oh, what have you done?
Stop that! I really feel like a fool.
Look nice, sir.
In a fit of pique, Pintel knocks away Raghetti's parasol, revealing both their skeletal features. Pintel realizes the game is up and fires at Gillette. The pirates launch their attack. All hell breaks loose as the skeletons battle the redcoats and sailors. Swan looks out of the cabin, horror-struck. He ducks back inside as the skeletons look for more victims. In the treasure cave, one pirate keeps a firm grip on Will's shoulder. Another pirate squats and skips stones over the water. Barbossa watches Jack examining the treasure.
I must admit, Jack, I thought I had you figured. But it turns out you're a hard man to predict.
Me, I'm dishonest. And a dishonest man you can always trust to be dishonest. Honestly. It's the honest ones you want to watch out for, because you can never predict when they're going to do something incredibly stupid.
Jack grabs the squatting pirate's sword and knocks him into the water. He tosses the sword to Will, who pushes his guard over. Jack draws his sword on Barbossa, while Will takes on the remaining two pirates. Will's pirate steps into a shaft of moonlight and becomes a skeleton. Jack and Barbossa lock swords.
You're off the edge of the map, mate. Here there be monsters.
Elizabeth rows up to the Black Pearl, where two pirates, Grapple and Mallet, sit in the gun room. A feast laid out before them.
What would you pick to eat first? I think we should decide now. Just so we're ready when the time comes.
Elizabeth clambers past an open gunport beside the two gluttons and hauls herself onto the deck. She's dressed in a soldier's scarlet jacket and white breeches. The skeletal monkey drops down in front of her face. Elizabeth and the monkey look at each other warily.
What was that?
The dazed monkey slides off the gunroom cannon and into the sea. Grapple and Mallet peer down from the gunport and then look up at Elizabeth. She dives down a companion ladder and hides. Grapple and Mallet run straight past her and up on deck. In the cells below the waterline, Jack's crew listen.
It's Elizabeth!
Meanwhile, as the fight continues on the Dauntless, Pintel and Raghetti row alongside and scramble through a gunport in their dresses. A wounded crewman of the Dauntless crawls to the ship's bell. In his small boat, Norrington turns.
Make for the ship! Move!
A skeleton dispatches the bell ringer. Below decks, Pintel, Ragetti and some others train cannons on Norrington's boats as they race back. Cowering in Elizabeth's cabin, Swan peers through the murky glass at the carnage on deck. A body slides down the glass, and a grinning skull peers in. Skeletal arms smash through the windows and clutch at Swan's wig. He wins it back in a macabre tug of war, severing an arm with a well-aimed blow from a rolled-up chart. Back in the treasure cave, Barbossa fights Jack, knocking him to the floor.
You can't beat me, Jack.
Jack stabs at him. Barbossa pulls the sword out and plunges it into Jack's chest. Jack's eyes widen in disbelief. He staggers back into a shaft of moonlight and turns into a skeleton. Now it is Barbossa's turn to stare in disbelief as Jack nonchalantly examines his bony hand in the moonlight.
That's interesting.
Will knocks out his pirate. He turns and sees Jack's skeleton standing on the treasure mound in the moonlight. Jack leers at Barbossa.
I couldn't resist, mate.
Barbossa draws his sword and lunges at Jack. They fight furiously. The Dauntless's cannons blaze away at Norrington's approaching boats. In the cabin, the severed skeletal arm crawls towards Swan. He beats at it with his rolled-up chart. As the battle rages on deck, Swan picks up the limp arm. It grabs for his throat. He stuffs it into a desk drawer. The desk rattles furiously. Back in the cave, the indestructible pirates gang up on Will, but only succeed in stabbing each other. Furious, they chase him around the treasure hoard.
Sorry!
Jack and Barbossa fight each other to a standstill. Barbossa falls back on a pile of treasure.
So what now, Jack Sparrow? Are we to be two immortals locked in an epic battle until Judgment Day and the trumpets sound?
Or you could surrender.
And off they go again. On the Black Pearl, Grapple and Mallet search for Elizabeth. They peer over the side of the vessel. Behind them, a rowboat swinging on ropes knocks them into the water.
All of you with me! Will is in that cable, we must save him. Ready? And... heave!
Elizabeth tries to lower the boat. Jack's crew, lined up behind her, won't help.
Please, I need your help! Come on!
Any point in a storm?
Cotton's right, we've got the Pearl.
What about Jack? Are you just going to leave him?
Jack owes us a ship.
And there's the code to consider.
The code? Your pirates hang the code and hang the rules. They're more like guidelines anyway.
Gibbs and the others fidget uneasily.
Bloody pirates!
Elizabeth rows into the cave alone. On board the Dauntless, Ragetti sees the Black Pearl sailing away.
Supposed to be doing that?
They're stealing our ship!
Bloody pirates!
Norrington's boats arrive.
Quarters away!
The redcoats scramble up the sides of the Dauntless and leap into battle. Twig and Cola find themselves fighting Norrington. Gillette appears and swings a block and tackle at Twig's head. Twig dodges it and runs on Gillette. The block and tackle swings round and hits Ragetti on the back of his skull. his wooden eye falls out. He chases it along the deck on all fours. The heads of Murtaugh and Mulroy appear over the side of the Dauntless. They grin, shake hands, and charge into battle. In the cave, Will is blown over by a grenade. A pirate advances on him.
I'm gonna teach you the meaning of pain!
You like pain? Try wearing a corset.
Elizabeth helps Will to his feet. They turn to watch the skeletal Jack battling it out with Barbossa.
Whose side is Jack on?
At the moment.
Will shrugs. With the long bejeweled spear Elizabeth has found, she and Will set about the remaining three skeletal pirates. Together they thrust it through the chest of a bald-headed zombie. He looks down, amazed to find himself skewered to his two skeletal companions. They try unsuccessfully to pull the spear out. As Barbossa and Jack fight on, Will thrusts a fizzing grenade into the ribcage of one of the skewered trio. He and Elizabeth back away as the pirate scrabbles to get it out.
No fair.
All three pirates are blown to pieces. Jack, flesh and blood again, brings out the coin he pocketed, slices into his own hand with his sword, and throws the now bloodied medallion to Will. Barbossa pulls out a pistol and points it at Elizabeth. But it is Jack's pistol pointing straight at Barbossa that is smoking. Barbossa sneers at him.
10 years you carry that pistol, now you waste your shot.
He didn't waste it.
Barbossa turns. Will is standing above the stone chest. He opens his hand to show his own palms sliced open, and his and Jack's medallions dripping with blood. He drops them into the chest. Barbossa drops his sword and tears open his doublet to reveal a bullet hole above his heart, oozing blood. He looks across at Jack in wonder and gratitude.
I feel... cold.
He collapses onto the pile of treasure. His precious, untasted green apple drops from his hand, and his eyes glaze over. On board the Dauntless, the pirates stop fighting and stare at their restored bodies in amazement. Cola, no longer invulnerable, topples back with a gaping sword wound in his chest. In the cabin, the desk has stopped rattling. Swan opens the drawer and, covering his mouth, recoils from the smell.
No.
The pirates turn to stare up at the full moon. They look back at the soldiers and, one by one, toss their swords down onto the deck. Rigetti finds his full sigh, pops it back in, and stands up next to Pintel. Rigetti and Pintel gape into the barrels of Murtaugh and Mulroy's muskets. Pintel gives a pleading smile.
Parley.
The ship is ours, gentlemen.
Huzzah! Huzzah!
Swan comes out of his hiding place and boyishly joins in with the cheering redcoats. In the cave, Elizabeth, dressed in her redcoat's jacket and white breeches, gazes down at some of the amassed treasure. Will comes up behind her. She turns to him. He smiles uncertainly. She returns the smile, her lips part, and they seem just about to kiss, but are distracted by Jack unceremoniously sorting through the treasure. They turn back to each other, suddenly self-conscious.
We should return to the Dauntless.
Your fiancé will be wanting to know you're safe.
She gives a brief nod and walks away, her eyes misting with tears. Jack, a gold crown askew on his head, a goblet in his hand, lurches up behind Will.
If you were waiting for the opportune moment, that was it. Now, if you'd be so kind, I'll be much obliged if you'd drop me off my ship.
They row out of the cave to find the Black Pearl has gone.
I'm sorry, Jack.
They done what's right by them. Can't expect more than that.
Sometime later, in the parade ground of the Port Royal Fort, Jack stands before a noose on a wooden scaffold, his hands tied in front of him. Redcoats line the battlements, overlooking the sea.
Jack Sparrow! Be it known that you have
Captain,
been charged...
Captain Jack Sparrow.
...for your willful commission of crime against the Crown.
Will, wearing a large plumed hat, jostles his way through the gawping crowd. Beneath an archway at the top of a flight of steps, Norrington, Swan and Elizabeth watch the scene.
Smuggling, falsification of letters of mark and reprisal...
Commodore Norrington is bound by the law, as are we all.
Impersonating an officer of the Spanish Royal Navy, impersonating a cleric of the Church of England.
Jack grins at the memory.
Arson, kidnapping, looting.
A parrot flutters down onto a pennant held by Mulroy and Murtaugh. It relieves itself on Mulroy's uniform. He looks up and hisses. Will's eyes flicker with recognition. He makes his way towards Norrington.
Hung by the neck until dead. May God have mercy on your soul.
Governor Swan. Commodore. Elizabeth. I should have told you every day from the moment I met you. I love you.
Norrington and Swan look at Elizabeth, who stares at Will as he disappears back into the crowd. As the noose is placed around Jack's neck, Elizabeth sees the parrot and gasps. Norrington sees Will push through the crowd.
Marines!
I can't breathe.
Elizabeth collapses.
Elizabeth!
Will draws two swords. The hangman releases the trap door. Will hurls one sword at the scaffold. It sticks in the open trap door. Jack fumbles for it with his feet and balances on it, taking the weight off his neck. Elizabeth recovers as Will fights the axe-wielding hangman. Norrington leads his redcoats through the crowd. The hangman swings at Will, misses, and cuts through the noose. Jack falls to the ground. Will pushes the hangman off the scaffold into Norrington and the redcoats. Jack uses the sword in the trapdoor to free his bound hands. He and Will run at the redcoats and trip them with the rope from the noose. Together they somersault their way up the steps towards the battlements. Running through one last archway, they find themselves surrounded by a circle of soldiers holding bayonets.
I thought we might have to endure some manner of ill-conceived escape attempt. But not from you.
On our return to Port Royal, I granted you clemency. And this is how you thank me? My throwing in your lot with him? He's a pirate.
And a good man. If all I have achieved here is that the hangman will earn two pairs of boots instead of one, so be it. At least my conscience will be clear.
You forget your place, Turner.
It's right here, between you and Jack.
Elizabeth pushes past Norrington into the circle of steel and stands beside Will.
As is mine.
Elizabeth.
Swan turns to the soldiers.
Lower your weapons. For goodness sake, put them down!
The redcoats lower their weapons. Norrington looks at Elizabeth.
So this is where your heart truly lies, then?
It is.
Norrington lowers his eyes, humbled. Jack, for the first time, notices the parrot sitting on a cannon. His face brightens.
Well, I'm actually feeling rather good about this. I think we've all arrived at a very special place, eh?
Oh.
Spiritually? Ecumenically, grammatically.
From Swan, he turns to Norrington.
I want you to know that I was rooting for you. Know that.
He goes towards the battlements, then turns back to Elizabeth and Will.
Elizabeth. It would never have worked between us, darling.
Her jaw drops.
I'm sorry. Will.
Indicating Will's feathered hat.
Nice hat.
He steps up to the precipice.
Friend!
The soldiers spring to life. Jack turns to them.
This is a day that you will always remember as the day that you...
He trips and plummets into the ocean. Gillette and Norrington rush to the battlements.
Idiot. He's nowhere to go but back to the noose.
Everyone stares as the Black Pearl appears around the headland under full white sail. Jack, grinning, strikes out towards it.
What's your plan of action?
Gillette looks up at Norrington.
Sir?
Swan sees Norrington nonplussed and speaks for him.
Perhaps on the rare occasion pursuing the right course demands an act of piracy. Piracy itself can be the right course.
Norrington gives a wry smile. He looks at Will and his eyes narrow.
Mr. Turner!
He spins on his heel. Will starts to follow him, but Elizabeth grabs his hand. He smiles at her.
I will accept the consequences of my actions.
Norrington draws his sword as Will steps towards him.
This is a beautiful sword. I would expect the man who made it to show the same care and devotion in every aspect of his life.
They eye each other with respect.
Thank you.
Norrington turns to go.
Commodore! What about Sparrow?
Oh, I think we can afford to give him one day's head start.
He leaves, followed by the redcoats. Swan turns to Will and his daughter.
So, this is the path you've chosen, is it? After all, here's a blacksmith.
No.
She removes Will's plumed hat.
He's a pirate.
Standing on the battlements overlooking the ocean bathed in a golden light, Elizabeth and Will finally come together in a loving and passionate kiss. Swan watches, then slowly turns and walks away. Out at sea, Jack's crew toss him a line. They haul on the pulley. Jack flies out of the water, high into the rigging, and lands in a heap on the quarterdeck. Gibbs and the crew gather round.
What you were supposed to keep to the cut? We figured they were more actual guidelines.
Gibbs hauls Jack to his feet and hands him his captain's hat.
Thank you.
Captain Sparrow.
Anna Maria steps down from the helm and puts a coat around Jack's shoulders.
The Black Pearl is yours.
Jack looks round at his crew, saunters casually over to the wheel, reaches out and caresses it lovingly, with a smile. Then, suddenly aware everybody's watching him, his eyes darken and he snarls.
On deck, you scabrous dogs! Hands to braces! Let go and hold to run free!
Bring me that horizon.
He brings out his compass and spins the wheel.
And really bad eggs. Drink up, me hearty yo-ho.
This audio description was written and recorded at IMS, studio production by Aquarium. The film was directed by Gore Verbinski. Screenplay by Ted Elliott and Terry Rossio. Screen story by Ted Elliott and Terry Rossio and Stuart Beatty and Jay Walpert. Based on Walt Disney's Pirates of the Caribbean. Produced by Jerry Bruckheimer. Executive producers Mike Stenson, Chad O'Mann, Bruce Hendricks, Paul Deason. Director of Photography Darius Wolski, ASC. Production designer Brian Morris. Edited by Craig Wood, Stephen Rifkin, ACE, and Arthur Schmidt. Costume designer, Penny Rose. Visual effects supervisor, John Knoll. Music by Klaus Badelt. Music supervisor, Bob Badamy. Casting by Ronna Kress, CSA. Starring Johnny Depp as Jack Sparrow. Jeffrey Rush as Captain Barbossa. Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl. Orlando Bloom as Will Turner, Keira Knightley as Elizabeth Swan. Jack Davenport as Norrington. Kevin R. McAnally as Gibbs. Zoe Saldana as Anna Maria. And Jonathan Price as Governor Weatherby Swan. Trevor Etienne as Cola and David Bailey as Cotton. Lee Arenberg as Pintel and Mackenzie Crook as Rigetti. Trevor Goddard as Grapple, Isaac Singleton Jr. as Bosun, and Bry Cooper as Mallet. Walt Disney Pictures presents, in association with Jerry Bruckheimer Films, a Gore Verbinski film. The rest of the cast: Damien O'Hare, Lieutenant Gillette; Angus Barnett, Mulroy; Giles New, Murtaugh; Michael Berry Jr., Twig; Guy Siner, Harbormaster; Ralph P. Martin, Mr. Brown; Paula J. Newman, Estrella; Paul Keith, Butler; Dylan Smith III, Young Will; Lucinda Dreiseck, Young Elizabeth; Michael Sheen, Tighe; Seedy Looking Prisoner; Greg Edis II, Officer; Dustin Seavey, Sentry; Christian Martin, Steersman; Vince Lozano, Jacoby; Ben Wilson, Seedier Prisoner 2; Antonio Valentina, 3; Lauren Maher, Scarlet; Mike Babcock, Seedy Prisoner 4; Owen Finnegan, Town Clerk; Ian McIntyre, Sailor; Vanessa Branch, Giselle; Ben Roberts, Crying Boy; Martin Kleber, Marty; Felix Castro, Moises, Jack's Crew; Mike Haberecht, Cursor, Jack's Crew; Rudolph McCollum, Matlow, Jack's Crew; Gerard J. Reyes, Tirlach, Jack's Crew; M. Scott Shields, Duncan, Jack's Crew; Christopher Sullivan, Ladbroke, Jack's Crew; Craig Thompson, Crimp, Jack's Crew; Fred Toft, Quartetto, Jack's Crew; D.P. Fitzgerald, Weatherby, Barbosa's Crew; Jerry Gorney, Ketchum, Barbosa's Crew; Maxi J. Santillan Jr., Maximo, Barbosa's Crew; Michael Earl Lane, Monk, Barbosa's Crew; Tobias McKinney, Dogear, Barbosa's Crew; David Patikowicz, Clubber, Barbosa's Crew; Tommy Schooler, Scarers, Barbosa's Crew; Michael A. Thompson, Simbaka, Barbosa's Crew; Michael J. Williams, Hawksmoor, Barbosa's Crew; Joe Zelaya, Catracho, Barbosa's Crew; Phineas Egan, Scratch, Barbosa's Crew; Don Ladaga, Nipperkin, Barbosa's Crew; Paul Cagney, Sailor. Original music by Klaus Badelt, Ramin Djawadi, Nick Glennie-Smith, Steve Yablonsky, Blake Neely, Mel Wesson, Jeff Zanelli. Sound department: John A. Letcher, music playback; Ulrika Akanda, dialogue editor; Christopher Boys, sound designer; Christopher Boys, sound re-recording mixer; Christopher Boys, supervising sound editor; David E. Campbell, sound re-recording mixer; Ken Fisher, sound effects editor; Peter Gleaves, ADR mixer; Kenneth Carman, music editor, temp music; Malcolm Luca, scoring mixer; Alan Myerson, music scoring mixer; Timothy Nielsen, sound effects editor; Lee Orloff, production sound mixer; David Parker, sound re-recording mixer; Karen Spannenberg, sound editor; Jeanette Serger, music editor; Jacqueline Tager, assistant music editor, temp music; Addison Teague, sound effects editor; George Waters II, supervising sound editor. Special effects by Ken Estes, special effects foreman; Terry D. Fraser, special effects coordinator; Daniel P. Murphy, special effects technician; Edward V. Panuzzo, special effects examiner; Kai Shelton, special effects technician. distributed by Buena Vista Pictures Distribution. In the cave, a shiny green apple bobs on the surface of the water. A dark furry creature swims through the shallows and jumps up onto the top of the Aztec gold treasure chest. It's Barbossa's monkey, still wearing its baggy white sleeves and waistcoat. It reaches down into the chest and takes out one of the gold medallions. It turns its now skeletal face and its jaw opens wide. The lowering, thundery sky logo of Jerry Bruckheimer Films.